All right, we are moving toward the end of the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians. So I invite you to look in your order of worship or in your Bible today. We're reading Galatians, the end of chapter 5, verses 13 through 26 this morning. We have a couple more weeks as we look at chapter 6, and we'll conclude this letter. I hope it's been helpful for you as we have listened to Paul's message, both to the Galatian Christians, but also to us today. For his words are so relevant to our own experience. This morning we read Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh, well, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. So in our passage for today, here at the end of chapter 5 in Galatians, Paul's letter takes a very sharp turn. Up until this point in the letter, Paul has been focused on what we might call theological matters. He's been focused on kind of issues between us and our relationship with God. He's talked about an old covenant and a new covenant. He's talked about the law versus grace. He has talked about bondage or slavery as opposed to spiritual freedom. And these matters have dominated Paul's theme for this letter. But in our letter and verses for this morning, he turns his attention to what we might call our relationships with each other, to more ethical matters. He's focused now on how we live our lives and how we relate to one another in our daily relationships. So in these final verses of chapter 5, Paul summarizes all of his theological arguments and he boils them down to some very practical matters of how we live and relate to one another. See, there was a potential problem for Paul and his letter to his friends. But before I tell you what the problem is, let me ask you a question. I want you to think of something right now that you consider to be a sin. I want you to think of something that if you did this particular thing right now, you would know that you were sinning in your relationship with God. Now, if you do this particular thing, and later you ask God to forgive you, will God forgive you? The obvious Sunday school answer is yes, right? Yes, God is going to forgive you. If you commit a sin and you later ask for forgiveness, God's going to forgive you. So here's the question. If you know you're going to be forgiven, then why not just do it and ask for forgiveness later? If you know that forgiveness is out there, and if there's something that is somewhat enticing or tempting to you, and you know you're going to be forgiven, what keeps you from doing that particular thing? See, that question touches on the issue Paul was having in his letter to the Christians in Galatia. Paul had very clearly said to them, "We live under grace. There is forgiveness for you. When you sin, you are going to be forgiven." And Paul knew, because he had been hearing it, that some of the people back in Galatia were then saying, "Okay, Paul says, look, we don't live under the law anymore. The law doesn't apply to us as Christians. So I can do whatever I want to do. All the restrictions, all the requirements under the law, all of those penalties, they don't apply to me. The law is not applicable to me. So as a Christian living under grace, I can do whatever. I can follow my passions and my desires. I can do whatever I feel like doing, whenever I feel like doing it, because there is grace. I know I will be forgiven. So look out, world, here I come." That's what he had heard. People back in Galatia were saying, "Well, Paul, if you're saying we don't live under the law, that's what it seems like to us. We can do whatever we want to do. There is spiritual freedom for anything I want to do in my life." Now, we know that's not what Paul was saying. But still, Paul understood that his teachings could and were being misinterpreted in this way. So Paul writes to his friends in Galatia, and here's what he says. "Listen, I have been saying to you that you are free, and that is absolutely true. You are free. You do live under grace. But don't be mistaken. Don't be misled. Freedom and grace do not mean that you can do whatever you want to do. You are not free to sin." That's what Paul is saying. You are not free to sin. Instead, you are called to use your freedom to serve in a spirit of love. Paul is teaching, see, that our freedom within grace is how we live our life with Christ today. In other words, yes, we are free, but our freedom is a freedom which loves its neighbor as much as it loves itself. The freedom of Christ does not give us license to do whatever we want to do. Instead, freedom in Christ, prompts us. It challenges us. It calls us to think of others before we think of ourselves. It challenges us to do whatever we can do to help and to encourage someone else in his or her life. Basically, here's how Paul would say it. We have become free not to sin. Think about that. We have become free not to sin. In fact, Paul gives the opposite example in verse 15 and following when he tells his friends in Galatia what's going to happen to them if they don't understand freedom in this way. Basically, if they think freedom means they can do whatever they want to do, listen to what Paul says in verse 15 and following. He says, "If you do not think more about one another than yourselves, and if you keep biting and devouring one another, then watch out. You will be destroyed, and you will be destroyed by, and you will destroy each other, and you will not experience the grace that God wants you to have." In other words, in these verses, Paul is talking about kind of a selfish, self-centered approach to our spiritual freedom. He's talking about thinking that our freedom means we can do whatever we want to do. That approach, he says, does not benefit us as Christians. That view of freedom, that self-centered, life is about what I want, what I need, that is not beneficial to the cause of Christ. See, here's the reality. The Galatian Christians were probably much more similar to us as Christians today than we care to admit. That's the truth. The Christians in Galatia were probably much more similar to us than we really want to acknowledge. The issue for them was freedom. Freedom was a major issue in the Christian communities. There were lots of internal fights, arguments among those in the Christian community about the extent of grace. How far does God's grace actually go? And it was clear that the troublemakers, the people who had followed Paul in the Galatian community, they were undermining his authority. They were the instigators for these major disruptions in the Galatian church. They were responsible for factions, for quarreling, for strife. Divisions and arguments in the church seemed to be rampant. And as we look closely at what these divisions and arguments and strifes were all about, it seems that they were focused on their relationship with one another. In our section for this morning, Paul lists, has several sins in verses 19 through 21. And this list of sins clearly focuses on our interpersonal relationships. Sins that involve the relationships shared among Christians in Galatia. Listen to this fact. Of the 15 sins listed in this passage for this morning, 8 of the 15 are sins that deal with our relationships with other people. Over half of the sins Paul mentions here involve our interactions with other people. He talks about things like sexual immorality, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, on and on. Also, we can add that when he does talk about the fruit of the Spirit, once again, the emphasis is clearly on interpersonal relationships. Even at the very end of this passage, Paul continues to talk about the conflict that was developing among the Christians in Galatia when he writes, "Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other." There were obviously a lot of conflicts in the Christian community in Galatia. In fact, if there was a word to describe what was happening in the church in Galatia, the word would be chaos. Chaos aptly describes the Christian community in Galatia. One person has written it this way. Listen, when we think of the Galatian church, we should not think of a fork in the road with Paul going down one road and the troublemakers going down the other road, each beckoning the Galatian travelers to make the right decision as they come to the fork. No, rather, we should think of Paul and the troublemakers on the stage platform, having made their cases for their systems, and the Galatian congregations are at war with one another. They are forming separate enclaves. They are having proud, vociferous leaders who claim minor victories here and there. We should think of rivalries of separate house churches not speaking to one another, of spiritual pride on the part of those who have been circumcised, who are following the law, and of slogan after slogan being bandied around in the communities. The picture we draw is sad. Sad because they had adopted a pattern of letting their freedom become a launching pad for indulging in sin. What a scene. What a setting for a church. Christians using their spiritual freedom to do whatever they want to do, regardless of the consequences to themselves, to others, to the church, to the kingdom of God, and then other people claiming superiority over others because they followed the law better than anyone else. The Galatian church was not a nice, kind, loving church. It was a dysfunctional family, constantly bickering, arguing, and fussing with each other. But notice how Paul handles this situation. He takes time to spell out very clearly what the problems are, what the sins of the flesh are, as well as the fruits of the Spirit. Paul says, listen to me, my dear Christian friends. If you live by the Spirit, then you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, and you will not be involved with evil things. He says, his accusers were saying, Paul is wrong. We have to have the law. The law is the only thing that keeps us from being involved with things that God doesn't want us to be involved with. But Paul says, no. When we live in and by the Spirit, we will live where God and how God wants us to live. The law does not keep us from sinning. It is the Spirit of God that keeps us on the right track. Think about that. Paul taught that it is the Spirit of God that keeps us away from sexual immorality. It is the Spirit of God that keeps us from impure thoughts and impure actions. It is the Spirit of God that keeps us from worshiping things that are not God. It is the Spirit of God that gives us the strength to resist hatred, discord, jealousy, and fits of rage. It is the Spirit of God that encourages and strengthens us to stay away from those things that are selfish, that are arguing and dissension, envy. It is the Spirit of God that protects us from drunkenness and orgies and the like. And Paul holds nothing back. He writes, listen, the people who live their lives in this way, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen, Paul says, you do not need the law to keep you away from these things. Live by the Spirit. Live in the Spirit of God, and you will be led to do the things which are good and pleasing to God, not the things that bring about all of this evil in the world today. Well, you can almost hear the response of the Christians in Galatia. Paul knows what they're thinking. They ask, well, what are those things, Paul? If all of these things you mention are evil, harmful, destructive things, and we shouldn't be involved with them, then what are the things we're supposed to be doing? What's the attitude that we are supposed to have in our lives? And Paul almost says, I'm glad you asked. The Spirit that keeps the destructive things away from you in your life, if you lead by that Spirit, you live by that Spirit, what you will experience are the fruits of that Spirit. You will see evidence in your life of things like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, you don't need the law to tell you to do these things. Against such things, there is no law, Paul says. Listen, you have already died to your sinful nature when you became a Christian. All the harmful, destructive patterns of your life, all the things you used to be involved with, all of those things died on the cross with Jesus Christ when he was crucified. Now you live by the Spirit. And since you have the Spirit within you, let the Spirit lead you and guide you to the fruits of the Spirit. For that is where you find abundant life. You don't need a law for that. You simply need to live in the Holy Spirit. Now, there is so much that we could apply to our lives as we think about Paul's message here this morning. As we look at our world today, as we think about all the harmful, evil, destructive practices and behavior all around us, we could spend several sermons for the next several weeks describing the pain and the heartache that are the consequences of the evil that we see in our world from things like Paul lists here in Galatians chapter 5. But as we think about applying this message this morning to us as the church, I want to invite you to think with me about one particular matter that seems to be at the very heart of Paul's concern. It is what I believe is the main issue on his heart and mind. It is factionalism. It is division. In our world today, there is so much divisiveness. There is conflict, there is bitterness, there is strife, there is tension in relationships all around us. We know this is true. But what is even more frightening is that the divisions and the strife and the conflict of this world make their way into the church. And that is heartbreaking. When the people of God succumb to the divisions and the strifes of this world. I would say to you today that we at First Baptist Roswell are very fortunate. We are a blessed congregation. We do not have major issues of controversy before us. If we do, I don't know about it, and I prefer to stay that way. We're blessed. We don't have major issues of conflict. I talk to pastors all the time who are dealing in churches where there are major issues of conflict within the church family. We are blessed to be part of a loving, caring, not perfect, but healthy congregation. But listen, what Paul says is, this stuff that's out there in the world, it finds its way into the church all the time. It can happen at any moment if we're not careful. Every single week, churches in this country, they begin fighting and arguing with one another, and they move toward division, strife, and conflict. I believe if there is any one message that comes to us from Paul's words today at the end of chapter 5 in Galatians, here's what I would say the message is. Factionalism, divisions, arguing in the church, those things are wrong. Why? Because they are incompatible with the Spirit of God. Those kinds of conflicts and bitterness and strife, they are incompatible with the fruit of the Spirit. They don't mix with grace and peace. Divisiveness and discord, jealousy and envy, hatred and selfish ambitions in the church go completely against the will of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to be people of grace. See, Paul's message to his friends in Galatia, it's just as applicable to us today. There are too many factions in the church because there is too little trust in the Spirit of God. There are too many factions and divisions in the church because there is too little trust in the Spirit of God. Maybe there is simply not enough living in the Spirit, as Paul would say it. Honestly, sometimes I think we get so caught up in worldly conflicts that it causes conflict and strife and division to come into the church. Let me just be very clear. In our fellowship, we should not argue about politics. In our fellowship, we should not argue about vaccines and masks and health matters. In our fellowship, we should not argue about cultural issues that consume divisions and strife in our world today. We have a higher calling. We have a higher purpose. Paul says it very clearly in Philippians. You heard Elizabeth read it for us earlier. That passage starts with this phrase, listen, your attitude should be the same is that of Christ Jesus. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We have more important issues before us. We have a more important calling to share the grace and love of Jesus Christ with this world. We have matters that are of eternal significance. Brothers and sisters, God is not pleased when Christians today split with one another because they're not willing to sit down and talk and listen. In this passage, we are challenged to put away selfish ambitions, put it out of our lives, and then center our lives on the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to live in the Spirit. Don't listen to what the world says. Be guided and directed by God's Holy Spirit. I know. It's hard to do in a world that says, stand up for number one and don't let anybody put you down or stand in your way. I get it. But that's who we're called to be. Our Lord very clearly said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. If someone asks for your coat, give them your coat and also give them your shirt. Your attitude, your lifestyle, everything about you are to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And remember, he came not to be served, but to serve. In the Galatian Christian community, there was tremendous strife because the Galatian Christians had surrendered their lives to their selfish ambitions, to their own pleasure, to what pleased them, to what they wanted to do. And they did it all in the name of spiritual freedom. They devoured one another in their desire for power and control. The flesh was given the upper hand and their lives became chaotic. But Paul enters this terrible battle and he offers an important message, a message of grace and peace. And his message of grace and peace is just as critical for us today as it was for the Galatian community. The message was this: when God's people live in the Spirit, they do not war with one another. They do not fight and argue over selfish desires. Rather, they bring glory to God. They reflect and display the fruit of the Spirit, and God is pleased. God is pleased because God wants nothing less than for all of God's children to enjoy fellowship, grace, love, and abundant life. That's what God wants us to have. And all of those things, they come not from the law. They come from God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, as we continue to think about and ponder living by grace and peace, we are thankful today for a message that encourages us and challenges us daily to live by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, today we ask that you guide us and direct us as we seek to be your people who truly reflect the attitude of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and share his love and his grace with everyone. For it is in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen.